listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The very latest from a player standpoint is that James Harden, and look, they can use whatever sort of funny language they want and mixed messaging they want and try and convey. Listen, James Harden's going to try and give it a go. He's got the hamstring injury. He dealt with it during the regular season. He missed a bunch of time. Then he had it. He suffered the injury in the playoffs. So he's been sort of kind of sitting back. And it's crazy to think where we've come, because after two games of this Nets-Bucks series, the conversation wasn't, when is James Harden going to come back? The conversation was, hey, maybe you just sit him until the finals. Like, if you don't need James Harden through two games to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, who are falling all over themselves, maybe you just rest him till the finals, because I think we can all agree, you listening to this at home, you listening to this in the car, wherever you are, you watch the Hawks and the Sixers and you go, eh, okay. I mean, it's nice, but that team, whoever comes out of that series, is going to be the team that finishes second in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's the feeling I get, and I'm sure majority of people out there, and I'm not trying to insult Hawk fans or Sixers fans, because last thing I want is to get something thrown at me. I'm just trying to say, point being, it's clear that there is a top tier in the Eastern Conference, and then there's those teams. And the top tier in the Eastern Conference is the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think whoever comes out of this series is going to be the Eastern Conference representative in the finals against whatever happens in that bizarre Clippers-Jazz series, and the Phoenix Suns are going to be off for like 6 months before they tip off and play another game again. But if you're watching Milwaukee and Brooklyn, just understand how this whole thing's going to go. If James Harden gets out there and it looks like Anthony Davis version 2.0, and he's not anywhere close to being ready, and God forbid he suffers further injury to the hamstring, that means he's going to be out, not just possibly the remainder of this series, but any series beyond this point, depending on how significant the injury was. I think Brooklyn knows they're in trouble. I think they know they're in trouble, and I think that's the only reason James Harden is going to try and give it a go. And if that's the case, how we view this experiment, one of the last remaining big threes to be put together. You've got Kawhi and you've got Paul George and all that stuff, but it wasn't a big three. This was the last of its kind. We have been hearing for years and years and years, and we have been force-fed this idea all the way back 12, 15 years prior, that the way to win an NBA title is you need a big three. You need a legitimate big three. You need 60% of your starting five to be superstar quality players. And if you don't have that, you don't have a chance. So here we are, one of the last remaining big threes. It's the Brooklyn Nets. You go out, you get Kevin Durant, who was injured. You still signed him. You get Kyrie Irving. You know he's a little flaky, but he was injured. You still sign him. And then you make a big-time move for James Harden, who admittedly came in out of shape to Houston and basically forced his way out of town. And so the Brooklyn Nets decided, we're going to do what's always worked in the NBA the past 12, 15 years. We're going to create our own big three. And then the playoffs started. James Harden goes down again, and Kyrie Irving suffers a nasty-looking ankle injury that's gone from, yeah, so he's going to be out for this next game, to he's probably not going to be back the rest of the series. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to project my doctor skills on the radio. I'll just say this. I would be shocked if Kyrie Irving makes another appearance in this series. I'd be shocked. That didn't seem like the type of ankle injury that you just pop back up from and go, all right, let's give this thing a go. I would be stunned if he's back in this series. So if this goes the way I think Brooklyn is fearful of it going, bye-bye to your big threes. And I don't know if that's good or bad for the NBA. I'm not one of these people who was outraged by Kevin Durant joining the Warriors or any of these superstars getting together. To each his own. Everybody should have their choice. Go play with who you want to play with. The shelf lives on these careers are short. Go do what makes you happy. I'm fine with it. But I wonder if this is the tipping point. If this is the last of its kind when it comes to big threes and putting this type of team together. Because look at all the remaining teams in the NBA playoffs. If it's not Brooklyn, and as of right now, I'm not confident Brooklyn's going to win an NBA championship. I'm not confident Brooklyn's going to win another game in the postseason based on what we've seen. But outside of Brooklyn, what do we got? Phoenix I mean, yeah, they go out and they make a couple of free agent additions, and they bring in Chris Paul. But look, that was a drafted franchise. They drafted a lot of those guys. All right, the LA Clippers, yes, they went out and they got Paul George and they got Kawhi Leonard, but still, you had pieces that were there in place. Like, you maneuvered things around. You promoted from within to try and make that roster work. Look at the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz don't have a choice. They have to draft well. They don't have South Beach to fall back on. They don't have Madison Square Garden to fall back on. They don't have palm trees and the Laker allure to fall back on. I remember being on the air when Gordon Hayward left the Utah Jazz. I remember it was around 4th of July, and it was a show I was filling in on. Imagine that. Around 4th of July, and I was working on a holiday filling in here on Fox Sports Radio. Gordon Hayward leaves. I remember Utah Jazz fans tweeting in that they were driving across state lines because they wanted to go get drunk and they couldn't serve booze in Utah because for whatever, it wasn't allowed that day on 4th of July or whatever day it was. Like, you have no choice. So the Utah Jazz, they are a drafted franchise. Milwaukee, say whatever you want about Drew Holiday and going out and getting PJ Tucker. They drafted. That's how they built that roster. The Brooklyn Nets are the last of their kind. And so if this goes the way that I think it's going to go, based on the fact that James Harden is going to try and give it a go in Game 5 when he's clearly not 100%, I think we could be seeing the last of these big threes moving forward. And furthermore, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you can't get it done now, when the hell are you going to get it done? We've been waiting for Giannis to make the next step and take the next step. This is your chance. And I don't want to hear anybody pull any crap and say anything like, well, they needed a bunch of injuries. This is part of the deal. Nobody takes away Kawhi Leonard's championship. Nobody goes back in time and looks at Kyle Lowry and say, we'd like to confiscate your ring, please. We think it's fraudulent because all the injuries the Warriors suffered. This is part of the deal. It's a war of attrition. You play a bunch of seven-game series after a long, grueling season, and who's ever left standing literally is your NBA champion. So I don't want to hear anybody dismiss the Milwaukee Bucks. Don't say Giannis needed all of this to make it work. I don't want to hear any of that crap. This is the way this game works. The Brooklyn Nets are banged up and injured. James Harden's going to try and give it a go. And I think the fact that he's going to give it a go tells you everything you need to know about where they feel in this series. Jonas Knox, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Now, we did mention the Vegas aspect to all of this. And we do have a Vegas aspect to all of this. So we go to Mackenzie Rivers here on Straight Out of Vegas, who is going to fill us in on what has been a wild movement on the betting market when it comes to this Game 5 coming up between Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
And it gets even wilder. In the last 15 minutes, we've seen another line move. So this opened up Bucks minus 2.5 on the road with big question marks. Is James Harden going to play? Is Kyrie Irving going to play? Well, the Nets said they're not going to play. They said after practice yesterday, neither of them are going to play. We're not going to risk it. The line shot up to Bucks minus 5 at that point. Well, now that Harden's going to play, it moved down to 2.5. And just 10 minutes ago, the Bucks are only favored by 2 at this point. Pretty much a coin flip.
Okay, because James Harden on one leg, the line's going to move that much.
Like, it's already moved 3 points. It's amazing.
I don't get it. Like, what do people expect from unless Harden's just been milking this injury because he wanted a couple of days off for the stretch run? I don't get what people watch these games without those two guys. They don't have a shot. Now, I want nothing more than to see Kevin Durant go off, and the Kevin Durant props are going to be a fascinating conversation later on in the show. But Mackenzie, I don't. Doesn't that feel like it's a bit drastic? Like, come on, man. At some point, the people who have been smoking the Brooklyn Nets, peace pipe all year long. At some point, they've got to acknowledge maybe we were wrong about this. The injuries are factoring in now, and this team is really flawed without two of their big three.
100%. If you look at the offensive rating with Kyrie on and off the court these playoffs, best team in the league on offense when he's out there, worst team in the league on offense when he's not out there. It's been that drastic. Can Harden replace it on one leg, like you say? I don't really think so, but I also think the Bucks minus five was way too much for a team as unproven as the Milwaukee Bucks to be favored on the road. I know Brooklyn is the worst team on paper, but I still think they have a great shot to win it. The line looks about right to me. If anything, I'm leaning towards Brooklyn.
All right, so here's the now we do have some new title favorites here because speaking of lines that have been moving around. So what percentage, and I'll ask you that, just ballpark figure, what percentage of the season would you say the Brooklyn Nets were the favorites to win the NBA championship?
90%.
Yeah, like
Since early January.
It was, and if it wasn't Brooklyn, it was the Lakers, right?
Yes.
So you had Brooklyn and LA were the two teams everybody was talking about. Those are going to be that's going to be your NBA Finals matchup. Obviously, injuries have factored into this, and Anthony Davis's whatever his offseason routine is, it apparently doesn't involve strengthening soft tissue and anything else like that. But point being, we now have a little bit of a shift in that title odd picture. So a team that was 90% of the year the favorites to win the NBA championship, where do we stand now on Brooklyn and their odds to win the title?
For the first time in months and months, the Brooklyn Nets are not your title favorites. They are number two by a whisker. The Milwaukee Bucks have supplanted them at plus 340. They're the favorite to win the title. Falls back to Brooklyn plus 350 after that. Falls to Phoenix plus 400 after that.
How about that? Somewhere Jack Sigma is smiling. So there's somebody, a diehard Milwaukee Bucks fan in a Jack Sigma jersey who is staring at that and looking at his phone right now and staring at the radio in his car on his drive back, and he's going, "You damn right, man. I remember the good old days. The Milwaukee Bucks are back, and they are the title favorites right now." That, according to McKenzie here on Straight Outta Vegas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's been a lot of discussion about the New England Patriots and what this year is going to look like for the New England Patriots. And the feeling is that Tom Brady won the breakup, that they look at Tom Brady like, oh, it's the couple that parted ways, and one person went on to bigger and better things, and the other person turned into a full-blown alcoholic and ended up homeless on the streets because they just couldn't get by without the other one. And so that is how this has been portrayed. All right, let's be fair to the situation. The New England Patriots were put in a really, really tough spot last year, both salary cap-wise and because of the opt-outs of COVID. I think they had 8 or 9 players opt out. The salary cap is where it was, and Cam Newton was brought in so late in the game that there wasn't really an opportunity for him to get used to this system and get used to the setup. And with all of that, and him dealing with a bout of COVID, and schedule changes, and all the other things that went along with it, New England was a 7-9 football team. Like, people make it seem like they were the Houston Texans or they were the Jets. They were 7-9, and I think in 4 of those games, Cam threw for under 100 yards because he was banged up. Like, this was a really flawed, limited roster that still ended up winning 7 games. And you can argue a couple of those games, if they go the other way, if the New England Patriots, if Cam doesn't fumble in that game against Buffalo, if they don't get stopped at the 1-yard line in that game against Seattle, we could have been looking at a 9-7 football team that was legitimately battling for a playoff spot down the stretch. They would have come up short, but I think the conversation would be much different. I don't see how New England's not improved this year. And if you're improving on 7-9, what are we talking about? Double-digit wins? 10, 11 wins for a New England team? That's probably going to get you in the playoffs. And that's probably going to keep you in contention with Buffalo in that division. Because I'm skeptical on Miami. The conversation around Tua and some of the quotes he keeps popping up with, it's like, dude, at some point, somebody shut his mic off. Like, he just continues to say, oh, I didn't know the offense. I just rolled with the play. It's like, dude, what are you doing, man? So I look at the AFC East. I think New England's the second best team in comparison to Buffalo. And who knows? If the Bills don't get some of the breaks they got last year, if Josh Allen regresses, I think this is a legitimate threat They've added a bunch of weapons on offense. They've gotten better. You feel like Cam's going to be healthier now. You know, the hand injury he suffered at minicamp, there are some people on social media that were saying that, oh, that's a cover-up because he got into a fight at Mastro's. Again, I'm not here to get into all that stuff. I love conspiracy theories. But until I have further evidence of that, I'm not really ready to decide whether or not I buy into the Cam Newton fighting at Mastro's conversation, as opposed to maybe he just banged his hand on a helmet at training camp. All that being said, I feel like the New England Patriots are going to get better. I feel like Cam Newton's going to be better. So, Mackenzie, when Vegas takes a look at the New England Patriots moving forward, how do they feel about Cam 2.0 at Foxborough this upcoming season?
It's fascinating because throughout the offseason since February, Vegas has upgraded the Patriots slowly but surely. You talk about the AFC East. Right when the odds came out, the Patriots had double the payoff as the Miami Dolphins, 5-1. Versus plus 250. Now they're about the same. They're both about plus 350. What I find fascinating, though, is if we compare Vegas expectations for this upcoming season to last season, they're almost exactly the same. So the win total for the Patriots was 8.8, you know, 9, but slightly shaded to the under last year. If you adjust that to 16 to 17 games, you're about 9.5. This year, 9.5, shaded slightly to the under. It's almost exactly the same. Now, maybe the Patriots disappointed so much last year that the market has soured on them completely, but I think heading into this season, there should be much, much higher expectations for the Patriots in comparison to last year.
I totally agree. I don't get it. I really look, maybe this, some of this is, you know, they look at it and they go, oh, well, they seem desperate. It's like, well, no, I mean, they had money to spend, so they spent it. I remember a lot of people thinking that they looked desperate because a few years ago, when the Patriots never gave out big contracts, they were never in the free agent market, they never gave out big contracts, they gave Stephon Gilmore a massive contract. And the thought was, God, that's not like the Patriots. The guy was Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he's like, if anything, he's gotten better since he's been in New England. Now, he's dealing with his holdout, and there's some conversations around that. But point being, I don't look at New England spending the money because they were desperate or Belichick needs to right the wrongs or change the narrative. I look at it as them saying, we are flawed. I would rather trust bringing in guys I've seen perform at a high level in the NFL, whether it's Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry or whoever. I'd rather trust those guys moving forward as opposed to trying to draft a guy, which we've struggled at times, trying to find skill position players in the NFL draft. To me, Mackenzie, like, I don't see how they're not better. Barring massive injuries, they're getting back a bunch of key starters from a year ago, and Cam's going to have another year in this offense with an opportunity to continue to grow with better pieces around him.
You mentioned it last year, 8 holdouts. That was by far the most in the NFL. I think that was double the next team that had 4 holdouts, so they're all back. And if you think there's one thing that the Patriots, from a roster perspective, do better than anyone, it's maximizing the mid-tier guys. Guys, yes, making 5, yes, to 15 million. So that's Hunter Henry they just signed. Matthew Judon. They got Kyle Van Noy back. I feel like my confidence, based on Belichick's confidence in these mid-tier guys, is way high, because I think he can identify exactly what he needs, spending about $12 million per player.
And look, I would love nothing more. It's like the kid who outgrows being afraid of the dark. He thinks he's you know, past all that, or like he was a bedwetter when he was a child, and he thinks he's past all that. And he's like, you know what? At least I don't have to worry about that anymore. And then all of a sudden, he's 32, and he's sleeping in his girlfriend's bed, dead sober, and he wakes up and there's a puddle underneath him, and he goes, well, where did that come from? Like, I would love nothing more than to see that happen, to where everybody thought they were done with the Patriots. We don't have to hear about Belichick anymore. Tom Brady's gone. Now you can just go away, and then all of a sudden the damn boogeyman pops back up and wins 12 games this year. That's all I want. I want to be here. I want to live in that NFL world where the Belichick and Patriots are back and causing people problems throughout. I don't think that's too much. What is the win total this year on the Patriots? Do we have a number on that? Offhand?
Yeah, so it's 9.5, and it's shaded to the under. You got to bet about, you know, 140 to win 100 if you're betting the under 9.5 wins. If you're betting over 9.5, you bet 100, you get 120 back.
Interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Clippers win last night, and I do think it's important to point out, if you make a living betting on the LA Clippers, I don't know how you haven't turned to hard booze at some point over the last couple of years. Nobody can figure this team out. We can sit here and we can celebrate the Clippers and we can say, oh my God, they've won the last two games and they were dominant in those performances and they should have won at least one of the first two in Utah. Man, nothing surprises me with this team. They could come out and lose by 75 in Game 5, and it would not surprise me whatsoever with the Clippers. They are up and down. They're the ultimate roller coaster, just like they were a year ago, and it's a really, really bizarre team to try and handicap and figure out. But that being said, the series is tied at two games apiece. So, Mackenzie, I ask you, you being the voice of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio today, I ask you, where does the series price stand on this one now that they head back for a game five in Salt Lake?
It's pretty much a pick 'em. Slight favorite, Utah Jazz, -125, 53% chance. The Clippers have about the same price they did before the season started, +105, 47% chance.
What are the splits on the Jazz from home and away? Because we know how good they are at home. Look, they were the best team in the NBA this past regular season. We know how dominant they were at home, but what are their splits home versus away when it comes to against the spread in the eyes of Vegas?
The market did not expect the Jazz to be this dominant at home. They were 64% against the spread at home this year. The market called the road games pretty much exactly right. 50-50 on the road if you're betting the Jazz every game. But if you're betting them at home so far this year, 64% against the number.
Incredible. So that's a significant difference between the two. And obviously, we'll have more on that matchup here on Straight Outta Vegas coming up tomorrow here on SOV.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.